Before we do that, you may be aware, in this time of change in the summer, recognising that some of our kind of children heading up in terms of into the youth ministry, going from primary school to secondary school and all that sort of thing. And we want to pray for them, we want to bless them. And we've been kind of doing this throughout the summer, because obviously they're not all here at the same time. But this morning, I'd like to invite Maddie. Where's Maddie? She's hiding upstairs. Come on down, Maddie. I'm going to invite Maddie Ford, who we're going to pray God's blessing over. And we've got a youth Bible for her as she kind of makes this transition. Sprinting to the front. That's what we like. Brilliant, Maddie. Are you doing all right? You're doing okay. Excellent. Where are you heading in September? Where will you be going? To Clavering. I remember Clavering well. I have lots of fond memories. Do you know, the head teacher there now used to be my maths teacher, okay? And on two occasions, I climbed out his window to leave his lesson. I wouldn't advise that. It was on the ground floor, I will add. But we want to bless you with that, Bible. We're going to pray for you, Maddie. Is that all right? We're going to pray God's blessing upon you, okay? I invite you, if you want to stretch an arm out. If you can't stretch an arm out, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make the prayer any more important. But it's a way of us all joining in this together. We're going to just ask that God will bless Maddie as she heads to Clavering and all that God has ahead for her. Father God, we want to thank you for Maddie. We want to thank you for her part here within the life of the church. And we pray your blessing upon her, Lord. We pray that you'll watch over her as she heads to Clavering, Lord. We pray that whatever she might be feeling about that, that you will go with her, Lord, that you'll really help her. And we pray that as she continues to grow and get to know you more, that you'll be revealing yourself to her, Lord, as she seeks to follow you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, man. That's all right. One or two other family matters this morning. But much as we all love someone standing in front and rattling through a list of bits and pieces and that sort of thing, I thought I'd make it a little more interesting this morning. So our first family matter, can anyone tell what this is? It's a scarf that Mark wore. It's an Afghan scarf, apparently, I'm told. Okay. The only thing is, I thought Mark went to Calais. Okay. I'm not quite, you know, it's obviously things are going to change in September, you know. Now he's no longer a student athlete. But if you're interested to find out what he's doing with this Afghan class, have you hopefully read in the newsletter about the trip that Mark and the team took to Calais a couple of weeks ago? Next Sunday evening, we're changing our plan. We're due to have a kind of prayer and praise in, but Mark and the team are actually going to be sharing their experiences. Really would encourage you to come at 5 o'clock. They're planning on doing kind of trying something quite experiential, aren't you? Trying to give us a taste of what actually it was like. So do please come next Sunday at 5 p.m. And ask Mark and the team if you'd like to know more about what took place and all that it went on. I've got in here. Can I tell you what these are?
Running shoes.
Running shoes. Yeah. They don't smell too bad, actually, yeah.
They don't.
Yes, on 2 weeks' time, on the 4th of September, we don't have any morning meetings here because it is the 10K taking place in Battle. And as a church, we want to get involved and support that. Now, don't panic. There's not going to be a sign-up list outside. But you've all got to commit to hurtling as fast as you can around the course. But we think it's a great opportunity for us to actually be a part of this community. And so we do have a group who are going to be taking part, going to be running at very different speeds and that sort of thing. But being a part of this community event, we're looking to get volunteers to help facilitate in terms of marshalling. We're looking for about 20 probably to be involved, maybe because around the different bits and pieces of the course. Probably just along North Craig Road, so it's not having to go off into any far-flung place, you know, at least I see. But if that's something that you think you could do on that morning, really valuable. We've even got a couple of people we could do for admin. So if you don't feel I could stand for a half an hour or so in a yellow jacket, getting a free cup of coffee, but I could do it sitting in a chair, then do please come and speak to myself or John or Ben or Catherine. But a great opportunity, and we'd love you to come along as well. We're thinking of trying to gather a group out in front of the youth centre because the runners will run from the Abbey Green up to the roundabout, and then do a long loop and come back again. So it'd be a great spot. We've got some things we want to give out, just bless people and that sort of thing. So do please make sure you're there on that Sunday. Don't think, oh, it's great, I've got a Sunday off now, I haven't got to bother. It's a great opportunity for us to be a part of something that's going on
in the community.
Okay, another one. And tell me what that is. Football, yes. The rest of you are sitting there, obviously, maybe just looking at it blankly. No, it is a football, because then on the following Sunday, okay, the 11th, we've got our commissioning of BBFC, Battle Baptist Football Club, a great opportunity at the start of the season to pray for this ministry. We don't just have a football club because it's something we can then put on the website and think, oh, look, aren't we a great church because we've got a football club. We're doing it, again, we want to connect with this community. But through it, we pray that the guys who are part of it will get to know Jesus. We're going to be doing something slightly different on that day, maybe slightly compared to previous years. In the mornings, we'll have our two morning meetings when we will be praying for the team and commissioning it. And then in the afternoon, we're going to really make a focus, try and get as many of the team, obviously, to be there. There's a football match at 3 o'clock up on the rec. Again, you don't all have to play. But there is, it's a kind of a church kind of non-church team thing going on, and we'll do that. There'll be afterwards there'll be some sandwiches and that sort of thing, presentations and a thought. But wouldn't it be a great witness to those guys who train each Wednesday and turn up on a Saturday representing the church if we were there like we are this morning but on the rec in that afternoon? So actually that's what we want to support, what they're doing. Wouldn't that be such a great witness?
Yeah.
So Wednesday, Sunday the 11th, please be there. Okay, a couple more for you. What about... Shall I tell you what that is? Food, toys. You're both right, yes. Yeah, I wouldn't advise eating them. They're made of wood, so we'll probably do your teeth no end of damage. On the 25th of September, not only have we got our harvest celebrations, but we're going to be commissioning... September's a really exciting month. We're going to be commissioning the ministry that happens in terms of the preschool and the caterpillar work within the church at 10:45. So another great opportunity for us to all engage in what God is doing. You might think, I never work with under fives. Maybe you physically can't. But it's a great opportunity for you to come, learn a bit more about it, and together we can go, actually, this is something we believe God is calling us to do, and we want him to develop it, to grow it, and through it, lives to be changed. So that's Sunday the 25th. And lastly, can we tell what this is?
Towel.
It is a towel, but it's not just any old towel. This is a limited edition LBC towel. London Bible College, if you missed that one. The LBC bit's not important. But on the evening of the 25th, can anyone tell you what's happening?
Baptisms.
On Sunday the 25th at 5 p.m. Already we've got three people who are going to be getting baptised, with others we're possibly interested as well. Such an exciting time. I've loved it, having meetings with people when they say, I want to get baptised, and sitting having a conversation with them and explaining why. It's brilliant. So I'm really looking forward to that evening. And again, I hope that you will be here as people publicly declare that they love Jesus and they want to follow him. And for me, with each of the people I've talked to who are going to get baptised so far, they've already started inviting people even before they knew the date. They were telling their friends, I want to get baptised and I want you to be here so you can hear my story. This is non-Christians, they're non-Christian friends. So what a great opportunity. So please encourage you there again on Sunday the 25th at 5 p.m. and to be there as we share together in that exciting opportunity. This morning, though, we're continuing our series throughout the summer in terms of moving on with God. We've been looking in part what it means to be a prophetic people, but also what it means to be a praying people. And over the mornings when we've had the all ages like this, we've been working through a kind of mini series on prayer. Way back in July, we looked at, can you remember? Adoration. Very good, yes. Okay. 2 weeks later, we looked at confession. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here, you looked at
Thanksgiving.
Good, just checking, excellent. So we're slowly working through the word Acts. And so today, we're going to think about the final word in that series. Prayer is something really quite interesting, I think, when you look at the Bible. Because throughout the Bible, it's referenced loads and loads of times. One commentator, which is basically someone who writes about the Bible, helping people understand it, that's it. He said that in the one translation, over 650 times the word prayer or pray or in some way, shape or form comes up. So it's not just something that kind of maybe once or twice. It's quite a key thing as I look at the Bible. So this morning we're going to think about the last word in our phrase, Acts, that of supplication, which is one of those words you have to be careful how you say it almost because you can get kind of tangled up. Maybe it's just, me. But what does it mean, supplication? Well, before we think about that, I'm going to read from the Bible. I've actually got a number of different readings. So I might invite you, maybe you just want to close your eyes, just listen to them. But they're on the topic of prayer, and particularly on what we're going to be thinking about today. The first, many of you may be aware of, maybe you will know yourselves. But I invite you just to, this is some of the things, and as I say, this is not an extensive list, there's a lot more stuff besides. But reading from the Bible. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, "They devoted," so they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Two more. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually." And 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people." Prayer is not an optional extra, is it? It's not something either for those who are really keen or really clever. It's not just for those times when it's a bit tough. It's something that actually should be part of our life, part of every area of our lives. And as we thought through this idea, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, the supplication bit is basically asking for things. So it's that bit of our prayers where we ask God for things. The danger is, though, I wonder whether sometimes our supplication, our asking, becomes a bit like this. I've got a short clip I'm going to show you, which are two guys who are acting out what they kind of, you know, this problem, I think, sometimes in terms of what our prayer life can actually end up like. Okay. You might look at it and think, oh, that's quite funny, really. But I wonder whether sometimes that's what our prayer life can be like. We have this long list of things, maybe good things. All of them we kind of think, yeah, no, they're not bad things, they're good things. Maybe they're for other people. But it just becomes us listing things to Jesus, to God, that we want him to do something with. See, supplication is about asking God for things. It's important that we realise that is what part of our prayer life it is to be about. It's asking God to help other people to do things that we just, you know, we're struggling with or we need help with. But it's also about admitting that we can't do it on our own. I can't actually solve all my problems or all the situations of the world. I actually need God to move. As I've been thinking about this, though, there were kind of, you know, some challenges that I thought we might sometimes face. The first one is that, well, prayer, in terms of asking God for things, needs to be part of a balanced diet, okay? So, for example, picture this, okay? So we go out for a meal somewhere, okay? And I sit down and the waitress comes over. She says, "What would you like, Ed?" And I go, "I'll have four fried chickens and a Coke, please." You're probably going to sit there and go, "That doesn't sound like a very balanced meal you're going to enjoy there tonight, Ed." In the same way as you do your shopping in a week, I'm pretty sure you maybe work through and you kind of think, well, actually, I need to try and, I can't just eat pizza every night. Maybe we'd like to eat pizza every night. You need to kind of have a balanced diet. I mean, it's a bit like this. Imagine, okay, you could get yourself a bar, okay, the everything you need to eat in a bar, And imagine, in this bar was everything you needed to eat. So all you needed to do was eat this bar, and you wouldn't worry, okay? Because it would have all the different items in it. Because if we open it up and have a look inside, what we actually have so you get your fruit and veg, because you've got to have fruit and veg. I know it's rubbish sometimes. You got a fruit and veg, okay? You get your bread, your rice, your potato, and your pasta. You get your milk and your dairy foods. You get your meat, your fish, your eggs, and your beans. And then you get the stuff, this high in fat or sugar that you may have as well. And if you have one of these bars, okay, this will be all that you need, okay? You will not need anything else, because it'll have every little bit that you need in your life. If you take out kind of one bit, you kind of go, actually, well, I'm not really a fan of bread or rice. Suddenly, you haven't got your balanced diet, have you? You can't think, I'm going to do away with that. You're not going to have everything you need to eat. You need all the different elements in it to make it work. And so when we think about prayer, when we think about what we've been looking at, what we need in the same way is we need to give God our adoration. We need to be praising him, as we thought about back in July. We need to be confessing. We need to be recognizing that actually, we don't get things wrong, we make mistakes, but also confessing the fact that there is no one else like God. Okay, and we pray. We're praying to the one true God. It's not kind of one of a number, and we've kind of picked it out of a hat. He is the only one true God. We need to be giving him thanks, thanking him for all that he does for us. As we were in the prayer praying beforehand, I was really struck by that again. This the freedom that we have here to gather and to worship God. But I wonder how often we actually thank God for that. So giving thanks to God, and then we come. I'm going to do the S back. Is that right? Oh yeah, it does it right. Actually, we need to then bring our supplications, our asking God for things, but as part of a balanced diet. Now you might be sitting there going, "Oh, I've got it wrong. There's five boxes, but there's only four letters to Acts." It's going to be one of those awkward moments when we're not quite sure what's going to happen next. The question comes, though, are we going to bother? And we think about our prayer life. Is it actually something that's that important to us? Maybe on a Sunday, yeah, when someone prays at the front, we'll say amen. But actually, it needs to be something that is at the forefront of our minds. And when we think about asking God for things, it needs to be part of this balanced diet, not as just that's the only bit that we do. So it's not like just, you know, we ask at Christmas for a long list of things. Yes, we can ask God for things, but as well as the other bits. So the first challenge, I think sometimes that we can only ask for things and not see it as part of a balanced diet. The other challenge, I think, when we think about asking God for things, is maybe we ask for things once and then, well, that's it. It's a picture up on the screen, hopefully, at the moment, of Cha Sa-soon, okay? She's from South Korea, okay? And Cha Sa-soon is someone who knows about persistence, okay? Those of you who know my personal story, when I decided to learn to drive, I wanted to be the best driver I could be, okay? Because everyone knows the more times you fail, the better driver you are, okay? So I am quite an exceptional driver. But Cha Cha Soon actually even outdoes me, okay? She lived in a tiny mountain village in South Korea, and she always wanted to drive. But she didn't begin the process, apparently, until she was about 60. And so it was a bit of a challenge for her, I think, is the simple answer, really. She failed the written portion of the test, which apparently consists of 40 multiple choice questions, 949 times. The article that writes about her kind of says that the whole concept of the questions were just alien to her. Because she lived in this village, she was being asked things, even with multiple choice, that she didn't actually have a clue what they were on about, certainly. But on a 950th attempt, apparently she did pass. And then it only took her four times to actually do the actual driving. But you see an example here, and we can think of other people, I'm sure, who persist who keep going, who keep on and won't give up. And when we ask God for things, I wonder whether sometimes we ask him for something, maybe we bring a particular situation to him, but then that's it. Maybe we'll remember it a little while later and we'll kind of go, oh God, why haven't you done anything about that? But actually, we've not been keeping on praying about it. We've not been bringing it to him. I've always challenged by some of my school friends who, as a teenager, I would kind of, every so often, I would pray for. You know, maybe in a meeting when people are talking about praying for people who don't know Jesus, that sort of thing. And I'd often, they'd come to mind. But it would only be in those times. And then you have that thought, kind of, why aren't they coming to, why don't they want to come to church? And why is it that they don't know Jesus? And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure the fact that only every so often do I bother to mention it, I don't have any leg to stand on in terms of arguing with God why he's not doing anything, because I'm not actually that persistent. I'm not that committed. There's a story in Luke 18 that Jesus told his disciples, this parable, he said, to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, enough, though I don't fear God or care what people think. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? So we need to persist in our prayer, in the things that we're bringing to God. The other challenge is that we don't always get the answer that we want. And this is where it does get a bit more difficult, doesn't it? Because we can kind of talk about prayer being a balanced diet, and how we kind of need to, you know, it's the application, supplication, ask for things is just one element. We can talk about needing to persist, and we go, oh yeah, well, I know I need to come. But there comes that moment where I ask God to do something, and he doesn't actually answer. Or not answering in the way that I think he's answering. And sometimes that can be quite difficult, particularly when we're praying for maybe someone else who is in need. When we're praying for someone who's ill. When we're praying for someone who needs, you know, physical provision in life. And maybe it's through no fault of their own that they've ended up in the situation they're in. And it's that sense of, well, Lord, what do we do then? And I think it's remembering the fact that God doesn't just respond to all our desires, however good they may be. He doesn't just sit there and write a blank check for everything. Have you ever seen the film Bruce Almighty? In this kind of this idea of this guy being given God's power, and he's just bombarded with all these prayer requests. In the end, he goes, "I can't be bothered," you know. And he just answers yes to everything, and the chaos and the destruction that ensues. But also, it's about not about doubting God in those difficult times, because again, that's what, you know, I find myself sometimes doing. You know, kind of, I'm praying for you, God, to do something in this situation. You're not, so obviously you're not God. And I'm gonna have a tantrum or whatever, because you're not doing what I want. And it's about us trusting in God in those moments. And I think that whole idea of embracing God in all circumstances. I always remember someone sharing with me a really difficult situation, which I won't go into in this context, but this woman was sharing how something horrible had happened. How could it happen? But there was this realization, she came to realize that as she was in the midst of it, as it was all going on around her, she sensed that God was there with her. And that he hadn't left her, he hadn't deserted her, and actually it was through her clinging on to him that she was able to make it through. So I think in terms of when we look at how we ask God for things and we think about our prayer life, I think we need to have a balanced diet. And maybe this morning when you think about what it means for you to pray, you know, do you have a balanced diet in your prayer life, in the way you communicate with God? Is it a case that actually, well, all I'm doing is I'm adoring God, which is great, because we should adore God. But actually, I'm just doing that. Or I'm just asking for things. Or I'm just living in this continued state of, I'm really sorry, I'm really sorry, I'm just confessing the whole time and not actually moving on from it. So we need to say, have we got a balanced diet? I want to ask that question. Are we persistent? I think about the ministry opportunity we've got with the footballers. You know, it'd be great if kind of, you know, at 5 o'clock today, they all turned up because they've suddenly, you know, just had this revelation and decided to follow Jesus. And we kind of go, well, if that's not going to happen, well, obviously we can't be bothered, really, can we? Because it's a lot of hard work, and you know, it's a slog, and is anything really happening? Is there any movement on this kind of issue? And I believe we need to be persistently praying and bringing it to God. And those things that are on our hearts, we need to be bringing them persistently to God. But also in all of this, we need to be trusting God. It's a danger that when I pray sometimes, I pray as if I am God. And so this is what I want, therefore I need to get it. And if I don't get it, well, you know. And actually we need to trust that God is God. That we're able to know him, we're able to follow him, we're able to serve him. But actually we need to be trusting that he is the one who is sovereign, who is the King of Kings, and who is so much wiser than any of us will ever be. And ultimately we do need to be trusting and following him. So what I want us to do is we're going to kind of conclude our time here this morning. John and Anna Mark are going to lead us again. An opportunity to continue to pray and to worship. But I want us to actually bring some of those things that are on our hearts this morning to God. It's something that we can do personally. So you can be in a room on your own, 100 miles from anyone else, and you can talk to God. But there's also that moment when we're with others, and actually we can together bring those things. So on your chairs, and you came in, you'll have found little bits of paper. And what I want you to do is, in a moment, I'd like just to turn to the people near to you and just chat. What are some of the things, maybe, that you would like God to do? What are some of those things that you want to ask him for this morning? And then as you've done that, we've got some pencils down here, and there's some up on the windowsill up there as well. Just invite you to just write down what it is. You may not want to put lots of information. You may just want to put something that just briefly summarises it. It may just be kind of the first name of someone who you're concerned for, or a country that you're thinking of. And then as we continue to worship, so I invite you to come forward. And we're just going to fix them up at the front here on our tree. Okay, there's some sellotape. Just pick them up wherever you want. As we together bring the things that we want God to do. Now, by putting them up on this tree, sticking them up here, there is nothing magic in that. There's nothing special about that. It's just a practical way for us to actually together bring these things to God. Also, by putting it up here doesn't mean we're going to get the answer that we want. And that's kind of tough, isn't it? But it's about saying, God, this is what we want you to do. We're praying that you will move and make a difference in this situation. You're much wiser than us. And may you help us to play our part within it. So let's just be still for a moment. Just each personally, just think what it may be that we want God to do today. And I invite you just to turn to the people near you. If you're here with family, then that's great. Or whatever, but just turn to the people around you, have a chat, just share briefly what it may be, and then as the band continue, I invite you, if you want to, just come and place it, stick it up on the board up here.